Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast right here on the Sports Insanity Network. I'm Noah Trombley, joined, as always, by Lawrence Patchman Lang and Mike the Pun Master Rifkin. Gentlemen, we just had the Royal Rumble about a week ago. How you guys doing?
We rumbled royally.
We did. Patchy, how are you?
I'm feeling royal right now. And there's a rumble we need to get to.
Yes, there is some rumbles we need to get to. We're also going to talk about some backstage trouble right now at WWE. And we'll also talk about the next premium live event and some of the matches that they've announced for that. But we're going to, of course, start off tonight's episode by recapping the Royal Rumble live event that happened. We're recording this on Sunday. The 6th of February, this happened last Saturday. So let's get into the matches itself. We start off with the match that started off the show. For the Universal Championship, we had Seth Rollins technically defeating Roman Reigns, but by disqualification. Roman Reigns put on the guillotine choke and refused to let it go. Referee counted to 5, and we got a disqualification. Roman Reigns remains the Universal Championship. Mike, before we get into the repercussions of what Roman Reigns did after the match, what was your opinion of the match up until that point?
I think it was the best match on the whole show. Let's start with the fact that, first of all, Seth Rollins comes out to the Shield music.
Oh, my, that was amazing.
Definitely.
That's first and foremost. But they did every spot. Rollins hits the Shield power bomb. They, there's the stomp. There's a Superman punch. There's a spear. They got everything in. It was good. It told the story of, since really the Shield broke up, it really went full circle on everything. The match itself was really good till the end.
Mm-hmm. Patchy, real quick, what did you think of the match up until the ending?
Well, I have a take on the ending. We'll get to that when we get there. But the match itself was fantastic. No one expected to hear Siri Hotel echo, yada, yada. And then it's just Rollins coming out of the crowd to in Shield vest and all. And it's like, just take my money now. Just give us this match that we needed. And I can flip-flop this card around. We could have had this a little bit later, but I understand why they did it, to get the crowd pumped up right then and there, to have them go out first. Match was great. Everyone got their spots in. Overall, told the story that we needed, and then there's the ending.
Yeah. Far as the match, it was really, really good. The Shield bomb, the Seth coming out as the Shield stuff in general was just really great, really getting into Roman's head, and Roman really selling well. Like, it is getting into his head, really getting to him. But Roman, like, just two guys top of their game. I always say this, and Mike, I usually say this to you when we're texting during the show. What does a championship / main event need to feel like? Two guys at the top of their game, just going hell for leather, and that's what this felt like.
And you have. There has to always be a certain belief that the challenger can take the belt off the champion. And we had that belief throughout the whole match and the, lead build up to the match. We always had the belief that Seth Rollins could have won the belt.
Right. So that leads us into the ending. As I said, Roman Reigns puts on the guillotine choke. And Seth Rollins grabs the ropes to force a rope break, but he doesn't let go. The ref counts to 5, and Roman Reigns wins by disqualification, then taking a chair and just wailing on Seth Rollins and leaving Seth there. I have a lot of problems with this. To elongate this feud, or with what they did the next night on Raw, who knows if this is elongating the feud? But if you do not want Roman Reigns to lose the Universal Championship, don't just have him win. Why are you doing this whole disqualification thing to skirt by the fact, so you don't have Seth Rollins technically losing, but Roman Reigns technically doesn't lose either. This 50-50 booking stuff, you can't, you want to do this on live TV on Raw and SmackDown, fine, it, whatever. I still don't like it, but I understand that that's how you get to pay-per-view matches. I'm not calling them pre-ones, pay-per-view matches. But to do them at the actual pay-per-view themselves, to give us non-finishes like this, it's just not a good look. Unless, you know, you're doing, you know, there are certain aspects in where you can get away with this on pay-per-view, but it's very, very rare. And it should not be with the Universal Championship match, your top belt in the company right now, because it's on Roman Reigns. So that's my take on it. I think it's dumb. I think it really hurt the match. So honestly, if we're looking at the match as a whole, I only give it a 3 out of 5 because the match itself is a 4.5, but that ending to me just sucks the life out of the building. And it, the crowd hated it. I didn't like it. And you know, I just think it's really dumb to have this huge anticipated match of Roman versus Seth, fine, like these former brothers in arms fighting over the top prize in the company, to end on that. And just bam. Not a big move, not a big count, not a big submission, just fan. There it is. So whoever wants to go next, what are your thoughts on the ending?
Wants to go, you or me?
Go.
I'll go. All right. So yes, the ending isn't what we wanted, but regardless, the if Roman was going to win, regardless, he won by pin submission, count out, DQ, didn't break the count, the fans were still going to boo. Fans were still going to boo regardless because they want the belt off Roman now. And we want to see Seth Rollins have the title again because this is the best rendition of Seth Rollins that we've had in a couple years, ever since he was the architect.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it this way, think about it. Roman can't forgive Seth Rollins for what he did 6 years ago or how long ago when the Shield originally broke up. So what's he do? He just chokes him out. Granted, we could have had him do it in the center of the ring, but we want to keep the title on Roman so we can do Brock versus Roman at Mania, most likely, which is most likely going to be the main event of WrestleMania. So, okay, we do the DQ finish. Okay, fine. So what? It doesn't hurt either wrestler. Really think about it. It doesn't hurt Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is still going to be fine. He's not going to be booed out the building, or he's not going to fall down the card and then fall into obscurity where he's lost in the shuffle. No, he's going to remain on top. Roman's still Roman. Okay? Who cares? Roman wins a DQ match. We bitched and moaned for the last 11 months that he was winning because of the Usos. Okay, he loses a match via disqualification. He still keeps the title. Once again, we're building up for something else. Granted, Rollins can be involved in this, but at the end of the day, we just got to take it. Because we're still going to find a way to bitch about something, regardless of the finish. Like if Roman won by pinfall, it's like, oh my God, Roman won. Oh, when are they taking the title off Roman? Roman won by DQ. Okay, Roman won by DQ. Roman lost the match because of a disqualification. Why did they do it? Seth won. Why did they take the belt off Roman? It's like WWE fans are never going to be happy with a finish, regardless, because they'll find a way to bitch and moan. So you know what? Take this one with a grain of salt. It's going to happen because we're building up towards something else. Overall, I give it a 4 out of 5 because I understand the booking decision behind this, I guess, where what they're trying to do.
So my issue, I have a couple of issues. I'm going to hit on something you said. Actually, I'll start with what you said. We're building towards something else. That's great. We're building onto something else, but something else that we've already seen. We have seen, and we'll get to Brock later, But we've seen Brock and Roman. It's not like it's the first time it's ever happened.
I'll put it this way. This is the first time we're, seen as Brock as the good guy and Roman as the bad guy.
Didn't they fight a couple of months? I know they're supposed Arabia. To go at day
one. Arabia show.
We're looking at a fully faced Brock Lesnar.
Listen, it's Viking Lumberjack Brock. That's how he's going to be viewed as. The other part is
The closest thing is going to be on the Vikings again.
Closest way. Kirk Cousins needs that protection. Couple of things. My first issue is if you're going to do the DQ, then either A, it happens with the choke, or B, it happens with the chair shots. Roman doesn't need both of those. Mm-hmm. I know what the chair shot signifies because Seth did it to Roman. But if Roman just beat the crap out of Seth with the chair to get himself disqualified, I'd have no issues with that. And that would be the frustration. The choke plus to me was a little overkill. That was my thing. The other part, and I don't care that... I do care that he's still champion because at some point you're going to have to take the freaking belt off of him. Does he have to stand tall every show? That's the part. At some point, you have to say there is a person. I don't care if it's after the match, during the match. Say, you know what? I've had enough, and beat him up over the match. After the match, and they stand tall. It signifies something. At this point, your whole 2-hour show Friday night is essentially dedicated to anything he says or does. No one on SmackDown currently, you're saying, is good enough to fight him. That's why you have to keep going to the Brock match. That's why you're going there. At some point, that's on you because you need someone to beat him. This match was phenomenal. I wish they just didn't go overkill on the disqualification. The match itself was fine. I'm going 4. I'm also just not looking forward to his match in Saudi Arabia. I'm not looking forward
to that. We'll get to that later. I wanted to
building up to that.
I just want to hit one thing you said, Patchy, and I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, that we're always going to probably complain about what happens in a match. But to me, what you said was, the options you said, if Roman keeps the title and he just wins, blah, blah, blah. Roman. To me, this was the worst option you could have gone with.
The worst option is you have it end in a count out.
Yeah, that's worse. But to me, this is close to that.
The psychological thing behind this is Roman is, in a sense, we're looking at Roman as a babyface here and Seth as the bad guy, where Roman is looking for redemption from what happened. So what's the one thing he has to not let, he's not letting go until he feels satisfied that he's returned the favor, nonetheless, to say, with choking Seth out. Because it's this built-up aggression that Roman has had for 6 years because he's the one that took the chair shot to the back and not Mox.
Right.
So in a sense, it's Roman. Roman can't let go of the past, so he has to choke him out.
I think what also gets me is, we'll get to it, what they did the next night and where they went with Seth. And it's like, was all of this just to avoid all that? Because... if this was leading to something between the two of them, I would be much more okay with it, but it doesn't look like it is.
Rifkin, so, what do you got?
That was going to be my point, was Seth technically won the match.
Yeah.
That should earn him another shot, should it not? And no disqualification. That's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're going to go a different direction. To me, that just says, hey, we're going to give you what you want and then just at all costs protect who we believe is the guy, and we're just going to go separate directions.
Yeah, it was just a weird taste in my mouth. But we'll get into what they did in this past week to set up for the next pay-per-view.
Buckle up.
It's going to be a rough ride. All right, up next, we had the women's Royal Rumble match. Obviously, the winner gets an opportunity at WrestleMania 38 for a championship. And we had probably the biggest return of the night. We had Ronda Rousey make her long-awaited WWE return after nearly 2 years in the ring. Last time we saw her was Mania 35. She comes back here and she wins. She outlasts all 30 other women. She enters at 28 and lasts all the way to the end, and she wins the Royal Rumble match, and she will now challenge Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania 38.
Who she last eliminated
in the Rumble to really set up this match. So, Mike, what did you think of the Women's Rumble match?
First off, to Byron Saxton, not every person in that damn match was a freaking legend. That is my first and utter beef. Not everyone in that match was a legend.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that Naomi and Summer Rae aren't WWE legends?
You're telling me Cameron's not a WWE legend?
Cameron's not a legend. No disrespect to any of them. They are not legends. They are
shout out to Melina, superstar. Though. Shout out to Melina. Still got it.
Shout out Summer Rae. She looked great, too.
Mm-hmm.
In her limited time in the ring. I didn't hate it. I felt a couple of things. I felt, one, there was a lot of protecting of certain legends in this match. We'll get to. And I thought one person in particular got really overshadowed. And that was Liv Morgan.
Yes.
Because we had talked about this during predictions. And I don't remember who it was. One of you had picked her to win. Okay, Noah had picked her to win. And I was like, she could win and I'd have no issues. I would have zero beefs at all she won. But at least give her a good show. And she was in there, you know, 20 minutes.
She was in there for 37 minutes.
All right, that longer than I thought. But to have her get eliminated by the Bella Twins, that bothers me, because what good does that do? What good does that do, Liv Morgan? What good does that even do for the Bella Twins? Unless they're magically coming back at WrestleMania and they're going to fight for the women's tag titles, I don't care. I like the fact that the other part I like about this, I really didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that they had Charlotte in the match. I hated that. But I'm so happy they didn't just pull that trigger and said, oh, Charlotte could win. That crossed my mind so many times during that match.
Oh, it did too, for me, for sure.
But I'm like, you know what? Ronda's back. Ronda can win. Fine. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed. We got all these legends, but we didn't get any NXT women. We didn't get if she's not ready, I understand, but we didn't get Bayley. We didn't get Asuka.
Where are these people?
I think
Asuka was hurt also.
Asuka was hurt, and then she, I think recently in the last 2 weeks, got medically cleared to return to the ring.
So, they really gave away all of the surprises in their announcements.
The only surprise left was Ronda.
Right, that was the only one. By the way, at some point, Ronda and Shayna Baszler have to be the women's tag champs.
Oh, please, yes. Or have a match.
Outside of that, it was decent. I don't want to call it great, but it was fine for what it was.
What would you rate it?
I'll go 3.
Patchy, what about you?
I would give it, happy Ronda came out and they know she won. As soon as she came out, it's like, all right, Ronda's winning. We know who's winning this match. It's not like, unless they were pulling Bayley at 30 for us and Bayley was going to come out and win. And then, because then they could have set up a few things like Ronda still could have gone after Charlotte. Bayley could have gone after Becky. Regardless of that, it was cool. You know, we got Ivory to come out to write the censor. Right. She came out to write the censor. And then Mighty Molly came out and got laid out by Nikki, which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can just the way my brain thinks, it's like, all right, you know what? We can have Nikki A.S.H. versus Mighty Molly at WrestleMania. And if Mighty Molly loses, she loses her superhero accolade. And Nikki A.S.H. finally becomes a superhero. But that's the way my brain thinks. But, you know, I agree. Why do you have Liv Morgan get eliminated by the Bella Twins? It's a slap in the face. It's like, okay, I understand the Bella Twins. Okay, yay, the Bella Twins came back. That's good. It still irks me they're in the Hall of Fame, but that's a different rant for a different day.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Don't get me wrong. I like Nikki and Brie. It's just like, it was like, did the heads up run out of ideas for women to be in the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah, let's just throw the Bella Twins in there. But you know what? Different rant, different day, time and place for that. We're talking about the Women's Rumble overall. I'm happy Charlotte didn't win, because what do we really need to have the SmackDown Women's Champion win the Rumble so we can just set up another title unification match possibly that we don't need? Yeah. Regardless, it's, to me, I like the women. The Women's Rumble was good. It's three for me, three and a half.
Yeah. For me, it's not the worst I've ever seen, but it's definitely got some problems. The treatment of Liv Morgan is really, really irking me, because you built her up out of the blue to challenge Becky Lynch. They had a great match on Raw. They had a great match at Day One. And the way that they've been telling us, they've been feeling like they've been building up her taking the title off Becky at WrestleMania. Now, they still can do that because Ronda's now going after Charlotte. To me, the problem is, I have a couple problems with the match, and I want to start with the winner. And do I like Ronda winning? Yeah, I like Ronda winning. She's a huge star, so she gets this big moment. But that kind of is the problem in and of itself, is that she's such a huge star. She could have just walked in and got a title match anyway. She could have walked in and said, I'm challenging Charlotte at WrestleMania, and we all would have bought it. Use the Rumble to give Liv Morgan that elevation to where, oh, I couldn't beat Becky the first two times, but I really built myself back up. I believe in myself. I won the Rumble. Now I can really go after Becky and get that match. It's a nitpick, I understand, but that's just how I think. The one other big problem I had with this match was, I've got the times in front of me right now. And I'm going to tell you that for a second. Here are the legends or free agents or whoever that entered this match. Melina, Kelly, Michelle McCool, Cameron, Alicia Fox, Summer Rae, and they brought back Sarah Logan. Okay, so those seven people. Here's how long each of them lasted. Melina lasted 53 seconds. Kelly lasted a minute. Michelle McCool, lasted 20 minutes. Cameron lasted 51 seconds. Alicia Fox lasted 6 minutes. Summer Rae lasted 52 seconds. And Sarah Logan lasted 43 seconds. So other than McCool and Fox, everyone else lasted under around 5 minutes.
What about Mickey James?
Oh, Mickey James lasted 11 minutes.
Oh, here's the – how long did Tamina last?
15 minutes.
So
– but here's my problem. Like, and Mike brought it up. Why are you bothering bringing back Melina and Cameron and Ivory and Mighty Molly if they're only going to be in there for 20, 30 seconds?
It's a nostalgia act, my friend. Think about it. Think about it. We have Hurricane Helms come out in the men's rumble last about 2 minutes because it's a nostalgia act. And
here's the thing.
It's the cheap pop, as we'll say in the business.
I understand if you want a couple of those in, but there's like six or seven of those in here that only last about a minute and then they're gone.
But Patch, here's my argument to all of that. You could have gotten that cheap pop from with someone from NXT. You don't think a place would pop if Io Shirai's music hit?
Raquel?
Think about it. Okay, listen. I'll throw this out here. Do you think the WWE fan just watches Raw? Do you think they watch all three brands, or do you think?
I think certain people do.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you guys too, but think about it. The way NXT 2.0 has been, everyone's bitching and moaning about that, like no tomorrow.
Yeah, but if you throw Io Shirai or Raquel Gonzalez, you could also be thinking black and gold.
You could. Yeah. I agree with that. In the back, the black and gold. And
here's the thing. I'm not saying you can't have those nostalgia pops in there, but when you have so many of them only last that long, maybe cut a little bit of them, you know, cut a couple of them out. Like maybe you don't need to bring back Cameron. Maybe you don't need to bring back Summer Rae.
Cameron, I can understand because it adds fuel to the fire for Naomi and
a little bit there.
It adds to that.
You don't need Alicia Fox.
I think you need Alicia Fox, though. Alicia Fox is awesome.
The one that really irked me the most, honestly, was actually Sarah Logan. She did this big return for her. We haven't seen her in how long. It was big return and she's out immediately. It's like, can't give her like 5 minutes. She's out in 43 seconds.
The highlight still was Mickey James. WWE.
That was cool.
They made up for the trash bag incident and even actually had her come out to Hardcore Country.
I was surprised with that. I thought she was going to come
out. I heard that the place went bananas.
And you know what? I'm happy that the place exploded for Ronda because she left 2 years ago in like really bad circumstances. And I'm glad the fans kind of like got excited that she's back.
I want to just say this before you move on. I really felt like Ronda Becky was the money match this year.
Again, we'll get into that, but like, why? Why wouldn't you just do that this year?
But like, to me, Becky is played off being the Raw Women's Champion and Ronda being scared of her so well.
Exactly.
That should have been the match. That's simple enough.
We'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about this the week after the Rumble. But I give the Women's Rumble a 3. It's a down the middle match. Again, it wasn't bad, but there was a lot of fluff, I think, and there was a stretch where other than Banks and Bel Air that it was like, I don't see anybody winning this thing. And that, we'll get into it in a second, but that's a problem I had with the Men's Rumble, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Up next, though, in the pay-per-view we had for the Raw Women's Championship is Becky Lynch defeated Doudrop by pinfall to retain the title. I'll be honest, this match was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
They actually put on a good showing, Becky really showing that she is a true champion and really elevating Doudrop. And no offense to Doudrop, you know, I've seen Piper Nevin's work before, and she's really, really good. But this match really felt like that. This made her feel like a big deal. And I really like what they did. It wasn't amazing, but again, it was one of those matches that they didn't build up. But coming to the pay-per-view, it was better than it had any right to be. I give it 3.5. I was pleasantly surprised with this match. Mike, what about you?
I wish, and Patchy and I kind of texted about this during. We'd wish the crowd was into it more because it deserved better than the reactions they were getting throughout. It was really a good match.
Well, the only downside to that match was that the WrestleMania sign caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened after Ronda. And to me, that was just like, I didn't like the way it was placed. I would have gone mixed tag match. Mm-hmm. Which we'll get to. And then maybe you do Brock, Bobby, then this, then the Men's Rumble. But this was solid. It was good. But for the love of Jeebus, can we stop with the name Doudrop?
Yeah, like the name Doudrop is from Eva Marie, and she's gone.
Like the name still is no is stupid, but it was a good match. It was Sal Becky was great. Doudrop was really good. It and really her first big time match since her call up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something we've talked about often. It's if you're going to bring someone up from NXT, let's see how they could do in a big match. And Doudrop passed the test because this was a really good match. I would say 3.5 as well.
Patchy, how about you?
You know, 3.5 overall, it was a great match. Like I said, I was texting with Rifkin about this. It was like, I wish that this was either after, you either have this open the show or you do it right after Seth and Roman, because the way you want it, you want the crowd to stay. to use Mojo Rawley's old catchphrase, get rowdy or stay hyped, whatever it is.
One get of those two. Hyped.
Get hyped. We want the crowd to stay hyped. And it started with that. You know, we started with Seth and Roman. Great match. Had the women's rumble. Ronda wins. And then, unfortunately, you know, it kind of goes down because of it's not Doudrop and Becky's fault. It's unfortunately a little technical difficulties with the WrestleMania sign that the fans got their eyes attracted to because, hey, something's on fire. Let's not pay attention to the match that's going on. Just like when we were at Survivor Series, we were more into of doing, you know, hey, we're doing the wave now.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if you put this right before the Women's Rumble, you can still have, you know, Becky still wins and all that. It's still a great match. The crowd is now still into it. And then, hey, Ronda comes out and then the crowd just goes bananas. And then you're off again to the races. You got the mixed tag match and then you got Brock and Bobby, and then you got the men's rumble. The crowd just you have the crowd hyped all night. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, it's not that it got placed in a bad spot. The match overall fantastic. It's unfortunately a technical difficulty drew the crowd away from this match.
And unfortunately, that's what's going to happen, or that's what happens when.
And that's what happens. You know, okay, a pyro miscue happens, and then there's a little fire.
Mm-hmm.
The match itself, fire, pun intended.
Yeah. WrestleMania was giving its honest opinion.
Straight. Yeah, the WrestleMania sign. It's like, no, this is a fire match. This should be the WrestleMania main event.
Caught on fire because it wanted to see Ronda Becky.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we had for the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley defeats Brock Lesnar to regain the WWE Championship. The era of the Almighty has restarted, is back again. Oh boy. The match was good. It's Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. It felt like this could have been a lot more. To me, I feel like there was a lot left on the table with this match. And I have a lot of problems with this ending. Here's why. If you're Roman Reigns, so for anyone, if anyone didn't see, at the end of the match, Roman Reigns slid in, hit a spear on Lesnar, hit him with the belt, and that allowed Bobby Lashley to crawl for the cover and win the match. If you're Roman, you're the Universal Champion and Brock's WWE Champion. Now, you both have a title. Why would you go after each other? Why are you purposefully going to go piss Lesnar off and screw him for him now to then come after you? I didn't get that. Didn't make any sense of why Roman would screw Lesnar. It just didn't make any sense to me. And you could say, like, oh, they're in a feud. Like, he has to get... I get that, but why? I just didn't understand that. Why would he cost Lesnar his title? Because now then, Lesnar's going to be pissing him. Didn't make much sense to me. But overall, I thought the match was good. I could have been a lot better, but it was really good. I give it a 3.5. Patchy, how about you?
I give it 4 stars. Great match. You know, once again, we're talking psychological. The psychological part of wrestling and booking and all that. I see 2 stories. You know, one is we need 2 matches at WrestleMania that involve the 2 major titles. The W title and the Universal title. Okay. Granted, we're getting Brock. 99.9% sure we're getting Brock and Roman.
100%.
I won't go 100%. I'll go 99%.
Brock said it on Raw.
Well
then there's something in my mind that might come, that's coming up later, that I think might change that.
We're most likely getting that for the Universal title. And then, you know, hey, last couple of years, we're going to do something with the B title. And unfortunately, now the W title somehow became the B title. Mm-hmm. And that's no offense to Bobby Lashley. No offense to him. It's unfortunately, you know, the Universal title is being pushed more than the name of the company on the title as your major championship. But that's another tangent for a different day. I could see this, but the weird part is with this is just the swerve again from Paul Heyman.
That too, yeah.
It's like it gives off the feel, you know, when Brock got screwed by Heyman many years ago when Heyman aligned himself with Big Show. If we all remember that was awesome. But it's like, why they could have done it a little bit better. In my opinion, they could have had, you know, have Heyman come in the ring, low blow Brock Lesnar. And then Bobby Lashley hits a spear or Roman, you know, low blow. And then out of nowhere, Roman comes in, hits a spear, 1, 2, 3. Like, it could have been done just a little bit better. And you could have sent the crowd even more into a frenzy. Overall, solid match. I have no complaints about this match. It's weird that, you know, Heyman screws Brock by, you know, handing Roman the title, but it's I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm here for the ride. I want to see how this plays out, because it's like, as the old saying, Heyman is the master manipulator, and he's doing that again.
Mm-hmm. Mike, how about you?
I agree with the last part Patchy said. I wish you would have done that ending differently. Whether it's Heyman with a chair, a low blow of the belt, and Brock turns around going, what the hell? And he turns back into a spear from one of the other two. We've talked about wanting this match for a long time. Brock and Bobby. And the fact is that I think certain people consider it a dream match. Mm-hmm. I think Bobby considered it a dream match in my mind. I don't understand how you can end a dream match that way. Like, to me, the beginning of this match, when it's German suplexes back and forth, okay, this is Brock and Drew from Mania a couple of years ago. And you have that ending. And to me, we could have gotten to Brock and Roman different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the way you're going to go. Fine. I don't care that Bobby Lashley's going to get the WWE title back. I could care less. Good for Bobby Lashley. He deserves another run. And eventually, Drew McIntyre deserves another run as well.
Oh, yeah.
In front of fans. But again, it's something I brought up after the Roman match. At some point, we just got to stop with Roman standing tall after every single encounter. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for Lashley. It could have been a lot better had they done this the right way. I'll go 4 stars, but it could have been a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Up next, the semi-main event of the night. It was a mixed tag match as Edge and Beth Phoenix defeated The Miz and Maryse in the mixed tag match by pinfall. Patchy, your thoughts on the mixed tag match?
Come back to me. I'm doing a chip at the moment.
We'll start with Mike then. Mike, what'd you think?
It was it was fine for what it was. I felt it carried too long.
It was 12 minutes. It was pretty long.
It was longer than you would think. And Beth still got it. Marisa still got it. And move Edge into something else. Like, let's move on with this. I'll go. It was fine. I'll go 3. I just felt it carried too long.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I think the match carried a little bit. It dragged a little bit towards the end. It was like, okay, can we, you know, let's go. We know where this is going. Yeah, Edge needs. I'll give it 3. It was a basic average match. It wasn't anything spectacular. But I'm with you, Mike. Edge needs to move on to something more. I love The Miz, but there are some dream matches with Edge that we need to get out going here. Him versus a certain phenomenal guy. Versus, you know.
And Miz deserves better, too.
Yeah.
Put Miz in the U.S. title picture or something.
Yeah.
Because Miz deserves better than this, too. And, you know, I know he went away to do Dancing with the Stars, and they missed the opportunity to do him and Morrison because they wound up cutting Morrison. But Miz is great, so do something with Miz. Also, shout out Maurice for the Hurricane Rana she nails from the top rope.
I was impressed.
It was epic stuff.
Yeah, but I go 3. It was a basic match. It wasn't anything to really write home about. It was just, it was there. Patchy, what about you?
Yeah, you know, 3. I'll go 3.5, you know. Once again, you guys hit the point. The women of this match still got it. You know what? I would be fine. You know what? We gave them a WrestleMania match. Yeah. Of course, you know, not to say put it low on the card, but put it somewhere on the card where, you know, you can keep the fans in it. Keep the fans in. I wouldn't mind seeing Maurice and Beth again. I think it'd be a good match. Maurice proved that she still has it. And that's awesome to see because, you know, we don't see Maurice wrestle that much anymore. Once in a blue moon, we get it. And she proved that she still has it. Beth, of course, has wrestled a couple times in the last few years. She still got it. The four of them put on a good match and it just dragged out just a little bit. Like you said, 12 minutes felt like 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It really did get long.
So I would rather see Miz and Maurice win because I think it could have. It's not going to hurt Edge and Beth if they lost this match because Edge. He's still a Hall of Famer. Edge is still the radar superstar. Edge is going to remain relevant. But if you gave Miz and Maurice the win here, just imagine where this could have brought them. It could have brought up maybe another power couple match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So
honestly, that's a great point. Because if you have Miz and Maurice win, even if you don't do this match at Mania, but you do Miz and Maurice versus, I'll say now, Seth and Becky, you could have done. Yeah, by the way, missed opportunity because you could have done Edge and Beth versus Seth and Beth. You know, Edge and Beth versus Beth at during the Edge and Seth.
Edge Rollins and Beth rivalry. Versus it, Becky and Seth is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, but it's Edge and Beth versus Beth. If you combine the two, it's Beth.
Mm-hmm, it is. All right.
There's still time to do that.
There is.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we move on to the main event of the night, which was the Royal Rumble match, where we had Brock Lesnar win, and he punches his ticket to WrestleMania. Okay, I have a lot of issues with this match. This might be recency bias, but this might be like the third worst Rumble I've ever seen. I did not like this match at all. Because let me go through the entrances. Number one was AJ Styles. Number two was Shinsuke Nakamura. Number three was Austin Theory. Number four was Robert Roode. Number five was Ridge Holland. 6, Montez Ford. 7, Damian Priest. 9, Zayn. 8, Zayn. 9, Johnny Knoxville. 10 Angelo Dawkins, 11 Omos, 12 Ricochet, 13 Chad Gable, 14 Dominic Mysterio, 15 Happy Corbin, 16 Dolph Ziggler, 17 Sheamus. We're at 17, and I buy one of those guys could possibly win the Rumble. AJ. I don't buy anybody else in this match to possibly win the Rumble. And that was a problem I had throughout the entire match. There were so few people in my mind who you thought could win. And then Brock comes in, which first big problem I have with this. Why does Brock get to be in the Rumble match, but not Seth?
Oh, because someone else came through for that one.
Yeah.
That was someone else's call who's actually in the match.
Yeah.
And who is now fired?
Who is now fired?
Yeah. So they give that
spot to Shane. There goes the money. There goes
but
the money.
But again, that is really my thing. Why was Brock in the match? Not Seth. That was a huge problem I had.
Wait, can I cut you off for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Because I want to ask both of you this. When Brock hit, did you get the same vibe as when he won the Money in the Bank?
Yep. 100%.
Because that's exactly what I went to.
It was like, here we go.
Well, we knew Brock was in Money.
Yeah, as soon as he lost, he was winning.
Yeah, as soon as he lost the title, you knew Brock Lesnar was coming in pissed off. Brock Lesnar coming in, taking people to Suplex City and winning the damn match, which I'm... Personally, I'm all right with it because it adds to the storyline because now you have a pissed off Brock Lesnar going after he thought was his advocate realigned with him.
Here's my argument to you, Patchy. And I get what you're saying, but here's my argument. You're sacrificing the Rumble win to continue that story when you don't need to. Use the Rumble to build somebody up. Instead, you just use it as a prop in the Roman Brock saga.
Okay, so I'm going to rebuttal you real quick with this one. Vince McMahon has won a Royal Rumble, and they did that to add fuel to the fire for him and Stone Cold. You have Triple H win the Rumble, eliminating Roman Reigns when the WWE title is on the line. And what do? We build up towards having... Once again, this is, I think, the second incarnation of us trying to have Roman be over with the fans that didn't work until 2 years ago.
And so, I don't like either one of those.
So it's going to happen. Like, we're going to have a Rumble here and there that's just going to piss us off. Once again, think about this. Royal Rumble a couple years ago, we have Cena win the Rumble. And what was the main event that night? The Rock and CM Punk. And as soon as Cena win the Rumble, we knew what we were getting.
Well, and that's another issue I had is what were we saying 5 weeks ago? One of the losers of the WWE or Universal title matches is being in the Rumble and winning it. We were calling this from day one, literally. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that sometimes the predictable, I'm not saying that you have to always be super unpredictable. But if you know you're doing Roman Brock at Mania, get us that match somewhere else. Why do we have to use the Rumble to do it? Which I know why. We know why now, because WWE has no clue who's fighting for the WWE title at WrestleMania.
So I'll put it this way. If we knew we were getting Roman versus Brock at Mania, do you have Brock win the Rumble or do you have him get put in an Elimination Chamber match type and have him just wipe the floor?
Rather than have him do the chamber type.
Okay, but if we have Brock in, we're getting Brock on his chamber regardless, which is going to be awesome to see regardless. But if we had it that way, where do you put Brock in? Do you put him in one and he just F5 someone in 5 seconds and then we just wait 5 minutes for him to do that for 25 minutes?
You don't have Brock in the Rumble.
But if you have Brock in the chamber, they're gonna book Brock the way where Brock doesn't really hurt.
No. If Brock's in the chamber, Brock should be either number 3 or 4. and he should light up the first two guys. However,
I thought you were talking about the you don't have Brock. You Brock in the chamber. No. You have him.
No, you want him held in the cage, and you want to unleash Brock held in that the cage. Beast.
Yeah,
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Do we have Brock win the Rumble this way, or do we have him win a title shot in the Elimination Chamber?
I would have had him win. So here's my answer. I would have him win the chamber too. The question is then, who's winning the Rumble? Right, like that's to me is the next question. You talk about elevating people, and I'm totally on board with you, 100%. The problem for me is there's no one that they could have elevated to the point of them winning the Rumble. I would have loved to see AJ go from 1 to 30. They were never going to do it, but that would have been awesome. Kevin Owens has been sneaking around doing fun things. Have Kevin Owens win the damn Rumble. He just signed a new contract. Give him a little bit of a reward for staying with you.
Mm-hmm.
As mind-boggling as this can be, Drew McIntyre was the biggest freaking surprise at the Rumble.
I thought he was going to be out for like 4 or 5 months.
Right. Drew's out. Oh, Drew's back. Have Drew win the Rumble. Have him get some revenge. Give him the Mania exposure match. There were ways they could have went about it without Brock winning.
Yeah.
I'm not saying because I didn't want this. Even if you threw Orton another title shot, no one's going to complain.
Yeah.
Especially it being in St. Louis, too.
It being in St. Louis, no one's going to complain.
Here's my...
Although Chad Gable could have won the Rumble, too. And
this is... I think what my problems with this is more compounded over what they've been doing over the last few months. And that's been, Mike, you said it, it's just an all just feeding Roman Reigns. And because here's the thing. Imagine if they had done this. You hold off on Brock returning until this. We haven't seen him in 2 years, and he shows up at the Rumble, and it's like, oh, big surprise. And then he goes after Roman. But instead, you had him return at SummerSlam, fight for the title at Saudi Arabia, for him to be screwed out of it by Heyman, for him to try to go after day one, but then Roman gets COVID, which I'm not blaming WWE for that. That's, you know, whatever.
I am still so skeptical on that one.
You could be skeptical, but we'll say I don't think it. But then you have Brock win the WWE title, for him then get screwed by Roman. This is my biggest problem with this company right now, and this kind of leads us into the week after Mania, or after Rumble.
I want to say this because the biggest loser in all of what you just said is Big E.
Yes.
Big E became the biggest loser in the entire company because of this.
Yes. Do you guys have anything else to say on the Rumble match before we get into the...
But I'll say this. Brock comes back at SummerSlam. To me, that was the perfect time because who do you have... face Roman Reigns from August to January.
How about Seth?
Once again, people are going to get bored of that.
Hey,
are you going to have Seth? Are you going to have Seth chase Roman for 6 months and them have, okay, we're going to go DQ Finn. We're going to go count out. We're going to go DQ. We're going to go, Roman.
You don't need one guy that whole 6 months. You could do different people.
But who else?
Sheamus, okay, give Sheamus a random
Sheamus title. Random title shot. Another title shot.
Once again, that's going to get boring. We can, but, hear me out, and I'll let you guys go. Hear me out on this one. Think about it. We have Cena come back. Cena comes back. We have Roman versus Cena. Fantastic. That was perfect in my opinion. Brock comes back after that. They like to fuck with us. W likes to fuck with everybody lately, it seems, because once again, they know what the fuck they're doing. Pardon my French, using the F word in three sentences.
Fouquet.
You can have Sheamus go after the title. You can have Drew McIntyre go after the title. I like Drew, but once again, you can only do it so much. I joke about this. Roman's become his own worst enemy. He's become the missionary position. Roman has become what he's despised, the missionary position, because it's the same thing over and over again. You throw Seth in there. We can throw Seth in there so many times. We can throw Drew in there so many times. I wish we got another match with him and Cesaro, but we never did. Because that was something different, and then it's like we're back to the same shit.
How much they love Cesaro? He wasn't even in the damn match.
Yeah.
Someone else to blame for that one.
My point to you, and this is my rebuttal, it's on them. You have to build these guys up and say, but at the end of the day, we know most of the people on SmackDown aren't there to beat Roman. Drew is the biggest competitor to Roman, and you claimed he was out for months, and he comes back at the Rumble. So give Sheamus a shot. As much as I hate saying this, give Corbin a shot. They're not going to beat Roman, but that could be a pay-per-view match. Who gives a damn?
They're not going to give us something different because they want to do the same thing over and over again.
And that's fine.
Right. And this is my problem with the old guy who runs the damn place.
Well, this is going to lead us into that week. And there's been a lot of stories breaking about backstage in WWE. Now, I didn't say his name yet, but there was a certain guy in the Rumble match named Shane McMahon.
Great pop, by the way.
He did get a good, decent pop. But
I hate those people.
He got a pop from the fans. He wasn't very popular backstage because, according to reports, Shane McMahon booked the Rumble match, and not a lot of people liked it. This is from the Sportster, and it was, first, WWE ran a Royal Rumble pay-per-view that many have considered a colossal disappointment. Then a few short days later, and this is other breaking news, Shane McMahon exited the WWE following reports that he garnered backstage heat for booking the men's Rumble match largely around himself.
Well, also don't forget the McMahon family lost somebody that week too. So I can maybe understand. I would say understand the booking, but Vince's mother did pass away. So there's that. I'm just throwing that out there too. Right. Don't forget.
I understand that, but it's kind of is a larger thing that I wanted to get into with this. And that is, you got Shane exiting the WWE for backstage heat and heat over the Royal Rumble match. There's a lot of problems right now backstage in WWE, even more so than what we've talked about in the last couple months. According to this article, Fightful Select is reporting that the WWE locker room morale is extremely low right now. The report stated that several wrestlers don't think they have a voice, which is why some of them turn to social media to air their frustrations, like Mustafa Ali did in basically requesting his release from the company. A report also says one WWE veteran who's been there for many years also says this is the worst morale locker room he has ever seen in his entire life.
Can I take a guess on the veteran?
Who do you think it is?
My guess is Orton.
Could be Orton.
As soon as you said veteran, that's where it's Orton. For me, it's Orton or Miz. Those would be my top two choices.
Could be those two.
It's probably not Miz. It's not Miz because Miz does, I'm not saying this, but Miz has his own TV show, and Miz is going to play the corporate guy here. Orton doesn't care anymore. Orton could get released tomorrow and he'll go to AEW and be fine.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right. So I think the Rumble pay-per-view kind of encapsulates a lot of these problems, is that you had a very underwhelming Royal Rumble pay-per-view. You had underwhelming matches. You had underwhelming things you just had the same old. You just had the Brock Roman thing just keep going on. And like I said, it seems like a lot of wrestlers and a lot of backstage staff are very upset with this. Mike, I'll throw it to you first. what's your take on all these rumors about morale being extremely low?
Okay, I want to take the Shane McMahon part first, if you don't mind, because I want to break this up. So it was also reported he was getting into fights with other agents. I believe
Jamie Noble. Yeah, that too, yeah. Over the Rumble booking too.
Yeah. Shane McMahon is 52 years old. I can't speak for Noah. I can't speak for Patrick. I could speak for me. I don't care who Shane McMahon was going to fight at WrestleMania. I could care less, to be honest with you, because I don't have to see Shane McMahon wrestle anymore. Sure, he does the cool elbow from the top of the Hell in a Cell. You know, he got the Taker Hell in a Cell match, which was what it was. He got Miz at Mania, the Mania 35, where we were at. And he just had to go over. You had him win that stupid Best in the World tournament in Saudi Arabia. I don't want to say we because I want to talk for everyone. I don't need Shane McMahon anymore. You want something? Build your own goddamn stars. Bring someone from NXT who's a killer. You know who could be doing great right now for you? Karrion Kross. You know who could be doing great for you right now? Keith freaking Lee. Instead, what did you do? You cut them. But, oh, hey, Rumble match, Shane McMahon. Whether I'm going to give you the first spot or later in the match, I don't care. I didn't need to see Shane McMahon in the Rumble. I don't have to see Shane McMahon on my TV screen again, to be honest.
Who could be doing good right now for them, but they're in another company?
UE, that's, yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing. If you want to give me an older guy late in the Rumble, I would prefer to hear the gong. Send Taker.
Give me Kane.
Give me Hook. Send Hook.
Send Hook in the Rumble.
Break the forbidden door down. Damn it.
That was the other part. They talked about doing that. That never happened.
Yep, that was the other thing.
So the fact that there's low morale backstage is not a surprise. Let's be realistic here. We just said it. As soon as Brock lost to Bobby Lashley, we knew he was winning the Rumble. If it's predictable for us, it's predictable for everyone backstage. So here's what I'm going to throw. And I've said this countless times the past couple of months. They care about five people in that company. They care what Roman's doing. They care what Charlotte's doing. They care what Becky Lynch is doing or gonna do. To a certain degree, they care about Seth. And they care, whether you like it or not, they care about Orton at the end of the day because he's been there for so long.
And they care about
outside. Orton. Outside of those five people, I don't think they give a damn. Damian Priest won the United States title. What the hell's he done since?
What's Nakamura done with the Intercontinental title?
Yeah, what's Nakamura done? Right, 100%.
Think about it. When was the last time the Usos defended the tag titles?
When was the last time women? Can you tell me right now who the women's tag titles, tag team champions are?
It's Carmella and Zelina Vega.
I keep forgetting that every week.
Right. I even forgot Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. had them.
They don't defend him. They haven't defended him in months.
Again, it's caring. It's when the product is good. You're not going to get complaints from us. But here's the thing. When you put crap out, you're going to get crap in return. And I don't want to crap on everything. But it's the you used to throw us some swerves in there.
That made
Brock Lesnar. There was no swerve. There was no swerve at the Rumble.
We predict, like, you could say it was a swerve, but we predicted the swerve for you. We knew the swerve was coming.
Only surprise at the only surprise
at the Isaiah Swerve Scott.
The only surprise at the Rumble was Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
It's true. Oh, and he nailed that Destroyer.
He did. He nailed it.
Bunny Destroyer.
Bunny Destroyer.
Patchy, your reaction to like the low to the low morale.
It's to me, there's one simple solution to solve this. Don't show up to taping. Do not show up to a Raw or SmackDown. Have the cojones not to show up and see what they do to put out a Raw or a live Raw or SmackDown. If you don't show up, what are they going to do? Prove your point. Show us, you know what? Granted, it's a very hot take, but that's what you do. You want to make a statement. So, you only care about these three guys? Fine. They showed up. Put a show on without them. Hypothetically, use the scenario that they did many years ago when everyone walked out on Triple H, and you have CM Punk on commentary, Triple H is the referee, and you have Sheamus and Cena battling. Yeah,
exactly.
Out.
And for the fans who want change, don't buy tickets and don't watch the product.
I can tell you right now, I have not watched a full SmackDown or Raw in about a year. And after we went to Survivor Series, I am not going to another pay-per-view until stuff seriously changes.
It's funny. No, we were in the city not too long ago to go to DC.
Yes.
And we're walking out of Penn Station, we said, a WWE Road to WrestleMania live events at MSG in March.
Don't want
to
watch that.
Don't want to go.
No. And perfect example, Mike, we went to Washington, D.C. What did we see? We saw AEW, and that show blew Survivor Series out of the water.
It was very.
Still mad at you guys for that one.
Oh, yeah. I texted you the punk phone.
Yeah.
Screw you. But screw you for that one.
But still, an episode of their weekly TV blew a WWE pay-per-view out of the water. That is the difference in the product. And, of course, the low morale is not surprising. And in fact, not only do these people not get time and they don't get their voices heard, but the way that it's been going, who knows, any day, Patrick, you say they don't show up, they might not have to because they just get cut at any moment.
But then the rest of the roster, if this anonymous veteran comes out, it hopefully it's Orton. Orton should go and voice his opinion.
Put his name, whoever it is, should put their name on and say, "Yeah, I said that."
Yeah.
And what are you? Because if it's Randy Orton, I'll tell you this right now: if it's Orton who said, "Yeah, I'm the one who said it," they're gonna cut Randy Orton.
Yeah, really.
But you're gonna cut Orton.
The biggest thing is that now you have Vince where he's doing the same crap he was doing before. He's changing plans so quickly that these people can't keep up with it. Multiple reports have come out and said Matt Riddle was the original winner of the Royal Rumble match until literally the day of the show. Why are you changing these plans that quickly? That is going to kill morale backstage because no one knows if their spot is secure except for the five people that Mike just mentioned. Charlotte, Roman, Orton, Becky, Seth. Those are the only five people who that company will keep at top. Everyone else could either be dropped to the mid-card or cut. So there's no wonder why morale is so low right now.
And if people are fearing for their jobs that they could get cut, today, tomorrow, you have to have reasoning for cutting people. I am sick of hearing the words budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, billion-dollar deal with Peacock.
Saudi Arabia's money's kicking
in. Saudi Arabia blood money. Fox money. And now you are back on the road traveling, so you're making revenue back.
Mm-hmm.
So the term budget cuts doesn't exist anymore.
I wanted to bring up one other thing, Mike. Let me cut you up. I wanted to bring up another
thing. No, you're good.
About the low morale and stuff like that. So there are reports that both the Iconics, which are now the Inspiration and Impact, and Nia Jax were called about Royal Rumble returns.
Oh, so was Lana, apparently.
And so was Lana. After they had just gotten fired literally 2.5 months ago. And I am so happy that those four were like, no way. Why would I come back to you and work for one day after you had me on your books 2.5 months ago and now you're calling me back? That just shows you the disarray that this company's in right now. That they're calling talent that they literally just fired to come back for this because they don't have enough women to put in the Rumble match itself.
And what did I just tell you? You didn't use NXT. You didn't use, you know, and again, that's my problem with this whole company is they don't know what the hell they're doing. They have zero idea. Unless it revolves Roman Reigns, Vince McMahon doesn't care.
He really doesn't.
Does not care. That is his pet project. And I would say some other stuff, but we're recording.
We are basically stuck in another Hogan era where it's just one person being booked to be Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is worse than Super Cena.
This is worse than Super Cena. Because at least there was other stuff going on around Cena.
Yeah, there's
nothing.
There is nothing. And by the way, I have to go back to the match. Because Michael Cole trying to paint Roman Reigns as a sympathetic figure after he beat Rollins with a chair and choked him out is just not the look.
Yeah, not a good look. But, and we talked about how the plans change and how there's no stability backstage. And nothing, I think, encapsulates that more is the fact of, I said this earlier, according to multiple reports, WWE high-ranking officials have no clue who is going to fight for the WWE title at WrestleMania. They have no clue. WrestleMania is 2 months away, guys. You might want to figure that out.
They'll figure it out. They always do.
They will, but it's going to be a rough ride. They could have had such an easy road to WrestleMania this year, but now it's going to be this complicated, thrown-together bullcrap. Which leads us into the next pay-per-view in Blood Money Saudi Arabia, Elimination Chamber. And we have gotten
true Elimination Chamber.
And we have gotten three matches or four matches so far for the event. And I can tell you right now, I'm not looking forward to this. Let's break down the first one. And that is the Elimination Chamber match itself. For the WWE Championship is Bobby Lashley will defend against Seth Rollins. I can't remember the actual participants now.
Rollins, Riddle, Brock,
AJ.
And I think Theory.
And Theory.
Oh, yeah, Theory and Brock. So here's why, Patchy, this is why I had such a problem with the Roman Reigns disqualification thing. Because you felt like you were setting up something with Seth and Roman down the line. But no, you just throw Seth back into the WWE title picture, and that's it. And why does Brock get to go back in for his title when he literally declares in the same promo where he challenges Lashley again that he's going to challenge Roman
at Mania? It's his rematch clause.
It's the rematch
I thought that clause. Was gone.
But it's Brock left. If it's Brock Lesnar.
But so nothing makes sense to this company anymore. Brock can just do whatever he wants.
You could say that. But I want you to think about this. Brock just goes in. Seth just goes in. AJ, Theory, and Riddle all had to win matches to get in.
Another thing, too. Yeah. It was
also noticeably absent from all of this. Once again,
Big E. Why isn't Big E getting to be in the chamber?
Side note.
Because now apparently he's on SmackDown as a member of the New Day again.
Yeah, they just kind of done that real quick. Yeah.
Side note, AJ and Rey Mysterio did put on a good match on Monday. I'm just want to throw that out
there. They did, and definitely go check it out. But
it's a good match for that, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. That was a nice
what you just said it about.
What, AJ and Rey?
Yeah, two future Hall of Famers put on a good match.
Put on this a good match. That could have been give me that at WrestleMania and I would be happy. But
no, it's Rey versus Dominic.
It still has to be Rey versus Dominic. I still want that, but I wouldn't mind if it was Rey versus AJ.
It's Rey versus Dominic. If Dominic wins, he's moving out of the house.
Okay. But this
you heard my theory about that.
But this is just so emblematic of what's going on right now. They don't know what the hell to do, so they just throw everything at the wall. They just do whatever they want that just makes sense. They just think makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. Why does Seth get to just go in? Why does Brock just get to go in? But the other three need to qualify. Why?
And it shouldn't have been Riddle. It should have been Otis.
And if you have Brock win and you do a title unification match, I'm going to be fuming.
Because no.
It doesn't need
Either Bobby's winning or Seth's winning. I'm either convinced. Or.
We'll find out
The only justification to a unification match is if we get the undisputed title back. That's the that's the only thing I will be happy if we get that.
And it's the return of the undisputed era.
It just feels like every week's show and every pay-per-view is just a cobbled together, just like, we're going to do that. We're going to do this. It's just so weird. We go on to the next match that was made, and that is Lita is going to challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship, also at Elimination Chamber. Why was she then having a promo with Charlotte on Friday? What? Why did it seem like you were going to do Lita Charlotte at Mania? Now you're just switching it around literally for no reason, and now you're having Lita go after Becky.
Why not?
She's going to go after the opposite one of Ronda.
I guess that, but I'm just saying it's like, if you know you're going to do Becky Lita at Elimination Chamber, why are you giving us hints of Lita Charlotte? Doesn't make any sense.
That means we're eventually going to get it down the road.
Okay, but then just set it up when it's going to happen. Don't tease us, then don't do it. Again, emblematic of what's going on. They have no clue what's going on. It's just a free-for-all every week on TV.
And not a slight at Lita at all. Legend. Byron Saxton, that's the true definition of a legend.
Yes.
Why is Lita getting a title match over someone who's more deserving?
Mm-hmm. Put it this way. We need... As the old saying goes, we need filler in a pay-per-view. This is just a filler nostalgia pay-per-view match that we know Becky's going to win.
But Patch, you know what then? Make it non-title, and if Lita actually won the match, there's your Mania match right there.
I agree with that 110%.
Right, you could have done that. And just these nostalgia things of just, it's just been a problem with WWE for forever. They rely on nostalgia way too much. And that brings us to Mike's favorite person in the world. Oh,
Jesus
Christ. Bill Goldberg.
All right, well, this I can defend a little bit.
Please do. So just for sake, Bill Goldberg will challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at Elimination Chamber. Patchy, go ahead.
What were you supposed to get 2 years ago at WrestleMania?
It would have been even more awful was at WrestleMania.
Well, what were we supposed to get 2 years ago before a pandemic took it out?
Goldberg versus Reigns.
So this, granted, thank God this is not the main event of WrestleMania, and it's not. Just imagine if Goldberg won the Rumble. On a side note, real quick, instead of Brock winning, how upset would you have been if Goldberg won the Royal Rumble?
Would not have done this show because I would have been screaming the entire time, and I would have turned WWE off for a while.
So there you go.
I would want Gene Snitsky on people.
Just be happy Brock won the Rumble and not Goldberg, because they could have done that to us and the internet would have imploded.
Okay.
I really thought you were going to say Hulk Hogan.
Before Mike goes, I just want to say something to you, Patch. That's not the feeling we should be having.
I know it's not the feeling. I just like to fuck with you guys sometimes.
That's not that we should not be thinking, oh, well, it could have been much worse, so we should be happy with it. It's not what should be happening.
Just, you know what? I just two things. I'm kind of excited for this match because, you know, we should have gotten this 2 years ago. Penn, you know, we could have this match 2 years ago. It would have been in the rearview mirror. We never see it again for the light of day. Granted, this is going to be Saudi Arabia. Different scenario. It's not WrestleMania. But then again, this is just a nice little... We know we're getting Brock versus Roman. It's not like they're going to throw the wicked curveball at us and all of a sudden we're getting Brock, Roman, and Goldberg in the WrestleMania main event.
I hope it's something else at WrestleMania. I hope it's not Brock Roman. I hope it's Brock Roman Seth in a triple threat.
But I want that too. Trust me. That is a perfect main event that we can have.
You're not doing Brock Roman again. You kind of spice up and Seth gets his title shot. But Mike, I want your opinion on this because I know you love Mr. Goldberg.
First, I'm trying to get over the fact that Patrick said this is going to be this could be an exciting match. The only thing exciting about this is the Paul Heyman promos beforehand. That's the only exciting part.
You know, it's why, you know, it's going to be exciting because Roman's just going to mop the floor with Goldberg.
You say that, but Goldberg's going to win this match, and then Roman Brock's going to be for the WWE title.
You just blew his mind.
Oh, yes. I can't do the Paul Bear. I have made so many major beefs with this. First off, if Patchy could say drop an F-bomb, I can drop an S-bomb. This is bullshit. straight up. Listen,
we're not FCC regulated. An F word, you can say fuck and you can say bullshit. I don't care. I'm the president of this network. It's allowed.
This is bullshit. I get it. Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. It's a match made in heaven. You want it? I don't give a shit about Bill Goldberg. It's not personal, Bill.
You should just be retired, my friend. I'm sorry.
Just go away. I'm at the point. We had to say goodbye to The Undertaker.
And we got you instead.
And we get you year after year coming back. Go away. I don't have to see you wrestle again.
I don't want
to see you against Roman Reigns. Because we are taking away a spot from someone else who, hey, here's an idea. We talked how good Becky Doudrop was. Let's give a young guy a shot to see how he could do against Roman Reigns. You know, I don't know, top of my head, Ridge Holland. Let's go, Ridge Holland, give him a shot. Pete Dunne, let's bring Pete Dunne up and give Pete Dunne the shot.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Gunta. For God's sake, if you wanted to do Braun Breaker, I don't care. I don't want nobody should want Roman Goldberg. No one should be excited for Roman Goldberg. Because you know what's going to – here's the story of the match, people. Spear, jackhammer, Roman's going to kick out to be looking like a total badass. And then he's going to hit a Superman punch, a spear, and he's either going to pin him or try to choke him out, and Goldberg's going to get up 5 seconds later. That is the entire fucking match. That is a waste of my time, so I am not going to watch it. That is a waste of your money on Peacock. And I am done with Bill Goldberg. I would rather see Goldberg, the goaltender from the Mighty Ducks movies, in this match. I would rather see Jonah Hill do this match. You know what? No. You know what? Here's the match. And I will fly. I won't fly him out there because I don't have that kind of money. You know what, Vince? If you're listening, I have the perfect person to fight Roman Reigns, and you have to pay me for it. Roman Reigns versus Nathan Moser in a steel cage. That is the match.
Okay. Here's what I want to end on, though, because you brought up a good point, Mike, is that we just don't need Bill Goldberg anymore. And I think what really makes this really, really suck is that look at the people you let go last year. I would have loved to see Braun versus Roman again. Would have loved to see Roman versus Keith Lee. Would love to see Roman versus Cross. You know, Patrick, you said that, you know, having Roman against, you know, all these guys and keep winning would have gotten boring. But at the end of the day, as far as my opinion, good wrestling never gets boring.
No, it doesn't. I agree with that.
So if you have Roman going on these matches with Cross, Lee, Braun, Johnny Gargano, like, it wouldn't have gotten boring because we know Roman can put on great matches, but saddling him with Goldberg, not going to do anything for him.
If you're going to put him against an old timer, Kurt Angle.
You could have done Angle. You really could have done Angle.
Listen, Pat, you may not be into that, but we all know, we all believe Roman's going over, although there is still a part of me that thinks Goldberg is.
I think a lot of people think Goldberg's going over.
I do know he said on the Pat McAfee show, I think it was at least a month ago, that he has one match left on his contract. So if this is his last match, then it's his last match. But we're at the point. No, you talked about going back to nostalgia. It's a new day, new age. Hey, you move Big E to SmackDown. Big E should get his rematch. Maybe a different title. Big E Roman 2. Who's not going to like that? And here's the whole clue. The Usos could come down to help Roman. I get Kofi and Xavier to help Big E. Fight him off. This is simplicity.
Right. The thing with nostalgia is it's like, I can't think of what it's like, but it's so great when you have the nostalgia, but it goes bad very, very quickly if you don't treat it right or you don't learn to get rid of it when it's about to expire. Here's take Goldberg for example. If Goldberg had done the match with Brock in 2016 and then the Mania match, perfect. He got his nostalgia run. I'd have been happy. But you've kept it dragging on and on and on. And again, here's another thing. If it was just, remember when he did SummerSlam 2019 where he had just a squash match with Ziggler? Fine. Do that. Get the Goldberg pop in. Get the couple spears and jackhammer in. Fine. I'm completely okay with that. It took 5 minutes. We were done and over with. It didn't take a spot away from anybody else. And Ziggler was already neutered by the time that happened anyway.
He's been neutered since he lost the world title many years.
Exactly. But to keep throwing Goldberg at WWE and Universal Champions, it doesn't look good. It's nostalgia at its worst.
I can't wait for Goldberg to win this match, and then the match at Mania is Goldberg Hogan. I cannot wait.
Goldberg Hogan?
Goldberg Hogan. Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, God. Don't give Vince any ideas. Don't give Vince a boner right now.
I got him on speed dial.
As in the words of Cameron Grimes, something would be to the moon.
Yeah,
bring up Cameron Grimes. Let's go, Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes should have won the freaking Rumble.
Nostalgia.
He literally would have been to the moon.
Nostalgia is one of your worst enemies, WWE, and you don't know how to use it. But alrighty, guys.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
So it was announced Friday night during Rampage. Tony Khan is signing someone.
Oh, I did forget about this, that a certain big star is stepping through the forbidden door.
Yeah.
And he's debuting. Who do you guys think it is? I think it's got to be Keith Lee.
I think it's Keith Lee or it's Hardy.
It could be Hardy. Did he say it's someone from WWE or he just said it's someone?
He just said it's the forbidden door.
It It could be Okada.
Well, whoever they are, they're fighting one of the Private Party guys for the face of the Revolution ladder match for a spot in that. I don't know if they're going to put Okada in a ladder match right away.
That's Hardy. It's Jeff.
Probably Hardy. It's probably Jeff Hardy, if not Keith Lee. It could be Cross, maybe.
Or Will Ospreay. I don't know if his contract's up, so don't quote me.
It's Grado.
It's Lince Dorado.
Or it's Joe Henry.
Grado. I love Grado. Like a prayer hits, I will lose my mind.
Oh my God, it's Gilbert.
I don't care.
How did Vince never give us Gilbert versus Goldberg?
Really? Why? Why not?
Oh man.
That'd be a fun little distraction at a pay-per-view. Why not?
I have to DM him. Gilbert versus Goldberg. Make it happen.
Book it out.
And have Gilbert go over.
Oh hell yeah! What would you think?
Because about it. At the end of the day, Vince will still kill WCW if he had to.
He will.
Alrighty,
guys. Anything else to talk about? And all the stuff we've already talked about. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I want to go to bed.
Fair enough.
Listen. I've worked maybe a collective total of 24 hours in the last 48 because of this ice storm.
Fair enough, Patchy. We'll let you go to bed. But that's going to do it for this Royal Rumble recap episode of the Face Turn podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Check out this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Anchor, Spotify, wherever. Check out the website, www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com, for great blogs, find the shows, and great bios on us. But for Lawrence Patchman Lang and the Pun Master, Mike Rifkin, I'm Noah Trembley. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Namaste.
Say goodnight to your mother. Your mother loves you.